Welcome to the Entrepreneurs Visiting Victor podcast with Victor Dadage, where you'll hear stories and strategies to help increase your sales and grow your business. Here's your host, Victor Dadage.
All right, welcome to Entrepreneurs Visiting Victor. I am your host, Victor Dadage. I hope you're having an amazing day so far. Today we have an awesome guest. This guy has done over 13 million in sales, and he's really great at teaching how to sell big ticket items. He's also a weight loss warrior. He has dropped over 100 pounds the hard way, and it was all about transforming his mindset before his body follows suit. So if you want to learn how to lose weight, this is the guy. He's also a brand builder and a best-selling author. He's also a podcast host, and he saved his marriage by redefining the value of time and setting boundaries. So he definitely has a lot to share. So let's welcome Drew B. Woolsey. How are you doing today?
I am fantastic, Victor. As I like to say, I am crushing the day, sir. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you on. And I'd like to get started, Drew, by asking you to please share your story. How did you wind up becoming an entrepreneur?
I grew up in the streets. So I was, as a young boy, selling anything and everything I could get my hands on. As I got older, I kind of coined the term being a commodities relocation specialist, meaning if you needed it, I was a guy who knew how to go and find it and get it for you and just make my little piece in the middle. So I've been in sales kind of my whole life, and I became a real entrepreneur as I got older and realized that, yeah, we can all run the streets for as long as we want, but that's only until we end up dead or in prison, which is why I ended up getting into, you know, legitimate sales, marketing, building brands and businesses, because I knew that as I got married, as I had a son, I didn't want to end up in either prison or dead. So I had to get my, you know, ducks in a row, as they say, and make sure that I was doing things to better serve the community. Because when I learned, again, as you mentioned, to shift from, you know, money to being money as a time tool, then everything really shifted in my life. And I was able to go and actually live a life by design versus just showing up and reacting to what life gave me every morning.
Awesome. Thanks. So basically, you've been doing this as a kid. You were what was called a commodities relocation specialist. So you were doing all kinds of things since you were a kid. But as you got older and you realized you had to change how you did everything, because number one, you wanted to settle down, have a family, and you realized you had to shift how you did things. You did not want to wind up in prison or killed, because that's not good. So you change how you do things. And as a result, over, you know, I guess you'll share more later, you've had this incredible amount of success. So I definitely want to talk a little bit more in a little bit about the importance of mindset and subconscious thinking, because I think that affects so much. Because and as you've alluded to, it's that shift that really changed anything. So actually, let's get started with that. So talk about that shift you had in your mindset, because it's one of the things that stops people, because a lot of people have the talent, but there's something in their mind, in that subconscious, that stops them from taking action, that sabotages them from being successful. So would you mind talking a little bit, how did that shift in your mindset change your life, change your business?
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate the opportunity, because I think mindset is a great place to start. That's really where my phrase of crushing the day came into play for me. Is, you know, at one point in my journey, I've always kind of had the knack of figuring things out. Now, I've also, with that same ability, been kind of lazy and procrastinated a lot in life up until, you know, the last 10 years or so, when I really started focusing on entrepreneurship, personal development, and growing. But it came back to that mindset shift, because at one point, you know, I grew up in the streets, but I started selling insurance. So I got a legitimate job, making legitimate money and a career that most people would have assumed that, you know, a almost dropout high school, barely graduated, was in the streets kind of person, covered in tattoos, would be in. And with that, I started getting into that position where I was like, okay, I'm successful here, but I still don't feel fulfilled. You know, I'm making money and I'm married and I have a house and all these things, but I still don't feel good. I'm not taking care of myself physically. And I had to have that shift of, when you look at this idea that you are blessed with opportunity, and it all comes back to, where are you spending your time? What are you spending it on? And who are you spending it with? Because even though I was successful in sales and I was doing all right in insurance, I still wasn't feeling fulfilled. So I was like, well, how do I go make more money? Because if I can make more money, maybe I'll be happier. Because that's kind of the first thing a lot of us do is we say, well, let me go make more money. If I have more money, I can buy things and the things will make me happy. And I started doing that. I learned how to do marketing. I went and started, a marketing company. And this is really where it hit me, Victor, is as I was having success with the marketing company, a wonderful woman named Nancy reached out to me and said, hey, Drewby, I see that you're having some success with this program you're using. I'm also using it, but I'm not having success. How much for an hour of your time to jump on a call and help guide me through some things, maybe answer some questions? And Victor, it was one of the most humbling questions I've ever been asked. And even to this day, I talk about it in every presentation I give, because until you know what your time is worth, you're not actually going to invest it wisely. And so the first formula I like to give people, if you want to know what your time is truly worth, you have to sit back and look at how much money did you make last year? Totaled up everything that you made, your regular job, your side hustles, right? Most entrepreneurs start their business as a side hustle and their main thing. Some people might have one of those websites that we go to and pay a subscription for that we don't talk about publicly, but I'm not judging. I'm just saying, whatever you're making money from, pile that all in a big pile and count it up, and then take that number and divide it by 2,000. Because if you are an average person, and I know you're not average if you're here listening to this because you're putting in the effort to grow and develop, so you're definitely not average, but if you were, you'd work 40 hours a week, 50 weeks a year, and you take a 2 week of vacation, so you'd work about 2,000 hours. And if you made, let's just pick a round number, $100,000 last year, your time is worth $50 an hour. So that's just math. We can all kind of agree that that's just basic math. If you worked 2,000 hours, you made 100 grand, your time's worth $50 an hour. But the messed up part, Victor, is if I put a hood on and I grab my scythe and I knock on your door and I say, hey, I'm death. You have 24 hours left to live. Here's $50. I need you to come work with me for an hour. What kind of response would you give me?
Exactly. I only have one day to live.
My time at that point, a lot of people are like, my time is priceless. I'm not going to give you any
Exactly.
of my
Yeah.
time.
Exactly.
Okay, that's fair. However, I would argue that there's probably a number at which point you may consider by saying, well, death. For that amount of money, I'll do whatever you want for the next hour because with that money, I know I can do X. And that's the thing that really makes you happy, right? So there is a trade-off number somewhere in there. So it's getting clear about what is your time actually worth and what are you willing to trade it for? Because instead of just operating every day as if you have an unlimited amount of time, now you're looking at every hour that you pass by as an investment. Where did you invest that time? And are you going to get a return on that investment? Because smart business people, smart financial people will tell you if you're going to invest a dollar, make sure you're getting at least a dollar 10 in return. So if you're going to invest an hour, what is the return on that investment of your time and your energy? Because time and energy are the two things you can't get back. You can't buy time, you can't win it in a poker tournament. You don't get a big card full of it on your birthday. Hey, happy birthday. Here's an extra year of life. No, it's like, hey, happy birthday. Check another one off the list, big dog. You're almost done. So that was the big mindset shift for me is going, wait a second. If I know time is my most valuable resource, where am I spending it? Who am I spending it with? And what am I spending it on?
No, definitely. I think there's a lot of wisdom. I like what you shared there. It's like, how much is your time worth? Where do I spend it? Who would I spend it with? How do I spend it? And a lot of people, I don't think, really take the time to figure that out. They don't know their numbers. And there's a saying, what gets measured gets managed. And if you don't know what your numbers are, you're not going to do anything. So you don't know really what's going on with your business. And I like that the whatever you made last year divided by 2,000. So for example, you mentioned you made 100,000, so it's worth $50 an hour. So and a lot of people don't understand, because here's the thing, men lie, women lie, but numbers don't lie.
You
Numbers
need
don't
to know your
lie.
numbers. No, and you got to figure out what is that trade-off number. You know, like you said, you spend a dollar, you want to get at least a dollar 10 back. And you said you get your time and the energy you cannot get back. So you got to figure out what is that trade-off number. How much am I willing to trade off? How much time to make whatever $50 an hour, $100 an hour? And a lot of people really don't think about it. They're not really crystal clear of what they want and how much they want and how bad they want or what they're willing to do to get that amount. So I think once you look at the numbers, then I think you can better, and let me know if you agree with me. You know what you need to do to make that amount of money. You know, you're saying, I want to make, 200, I mean, 100,000 less, I want to make 200,000. You got to do, maybe you need to do twice as much work or manage your time. But you don't know until you know your numbers. So I think there's a lot of wisdom there, and I love you shared that story. That woman Nancy reached out to you and asked you how much you to do a 1 hour call with her to see if you can help her out. Because that got the ball rolling, made you start thinking about your time, how valuable it is, who you were spending, how you were spending it, and how could I better manage my time. So because a lot of people don't think about it, and they waste so much time doing things that don't help their business, like. And I'm sure you notice a lot of people spend their time being very busy but not being productive. They'll spend it on activities that don't produce income. It might help some, but it's not really the stuff that really brings in the money, the profit. So would you agree that's one of the problems? And if there are any other things you'd like to add, definitely go ahead. I was gonna say, no, 1,000,000%, I would agree with you. And I loved what you were saying in regards to, oh, it was just on the tip of my tongue. You had mentioned how I lost my train of thought. It's gonna come to me here in a second. But basically, like where you're spending your time is non-refundable. Like you can't get that back. You spend it here and you don't get it back. And that's why it's so important to be focused and intentional with it, because it's an investment, and you have to choose what you want the return on that investment to be.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, you got to manage your time better. Another thing I want to ask you, because another in addition to crushing the day, you have called the damn lead. So you want to talk a little bit more about that? So I'm sure there's a nice story behind it, because I guess part of it is, I'm getting part of it is like just taking action, just calling them. A lot of people don't do that, or is it something else?
Yes, and it actually this sparked my original thought to what I was going for, right? You said, hey, if you made $50 an hour, you have the option to either work twice as much or figure out how to get paid twice as much by increasing your value in the marketplace. And so that's a great segue into like kind of how this happened, because when she reached out to me, she's like, well, how much for your an hour of your time? And I'm like, I don't know, $20. This was the math that I did to myself. Well, it's like I work X amount of time, pay me this much amount of money. And so, you have to be focused on that part of it. And I'm sorry, I lost the train of thought. What was the second part of your question?
Just calling the damn leads. Basically, is it
Yes,
a
call the
part of
damn
it?
leads. Sorry, how did it start?
Is
Now we're
it
getting
part of
there.
it? So
Okay.
yeah, so taking action, maybe not procrastinating or other things as well.
Yes, because this is what happened is I realized, okay, if I want to make more money, I have to make more sales. And if I want to make more sales, I have to know marketing. And so as I started going through this process, I started a marketing company because I learned a new skill set, was able to generate my own leads, make more sales. That's why Nancy was calling me. And so when I started this company, I started getting some clients, Nancy not being one of them. She was amazing, but I had another client who I generated a whole bunch of leads for who reached back out to me and said, well, hey man, this money that I paid you, I don't think it was worth it. I need a refund. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? I can see it. I've sent you a lot of these leads. There's this opportunity. And he's like, well, those leads suck. They're not answering. I'm like, I don't know if I believe that. So I picked up the phone and started calling these people. I don't know anything about real estate. I'm not a real estate agent. I don't have a license. I bought one home in my, life at this time. And I'm literally calling people, getting them to show interest in buying this home that I have listed for this client. And so I called him back, sent him a list of all the people that I spoke with who said they were interested. And I was like, hey, man, here's your refund. You need to go call the damn leads because clearly that's why you're not successful. And it was kind of a joke at the time and also kind of a rude way to fire a client. I don't know if you've ever had to fire a client before. It's not fun. However, it's sometimes very necessary. And so Call the damn leads was something that me and my marketer friends were joking about. Whenever we had to fire a client because they wouldn't do the work, we would just say, yeah, just call the damn leads. You'd make money. It's funny. And so eventually I was like, I should put that on a t-shirt. And I started on a t-shirt, and then I put it on a hat and a keychain and a wristband, and now it's on all kinds of fun, wacky stuff that you can give out to your team. But it's just a reminder to do the work. Because if you do the work, you'll get a result. And if you do the work consistently and you measure the results, you can start changing what work you do and start getting different results, which is how you get to live a life by design.
No, absolutely. And thanks for sharing that story because you're right. That happens so often. You get people that, try to work with you, whether you're coaching them or they join you in your business, and they're always complaining, I'm not making any money. And then you look at what they're doing, that's it. They're not reaching out to people. They're not messaging me. They're not calling people. So they're not calling prospects. So money's not going to pop out of nowhere. You got to do the work. Jim Rohn said, you can't hire someone to do your push-ups for you. Do you get the
Ooh.
results? You need to do it. You need to take the action. And a lot of people do not. Some people think that all they need to do is push a button and money's going to flow out of, it's going to flow magically out of nowhere. It doesn't work that. You have to put in the time and the effort. You have to, like you said, call the damn leads, make the calls. Like you said, you made those calls for them. And you got a number of people that were interested in learning more, and then you sent it to him, and you gave him back his refund. But yeah, there's certain people, you know what? They're not worth the effort. They're not worth the aggravation. And frankly, they're not, no matter how much they pay, some people are just not worth the aggravation. So you want people that are pleasant to deal with. And after a certain point, when you're making a good amount from your business, you get to be more picky as to who you get to work with. So no, I definitely agree. So I definitely, yeah, too many people don't procrastinate, and it's. Yeah, just take the action. I think it makes all the difference in the world because everything changes. And you know what? And I think some people are afraid to make a mistake. Would you agree? But as would you agree that as you take action, yeah, you're going to make some mistakes, but you get feedback, so you make adjustments along the way, and you figure out how to do things better. But if you don't take action, nothing will ever change. That's how you get better, by learning. You'll make some mistakes, but you make corrections.
100%. So many people get caught in analysis paralysis where they're trying to come up with the perfect plan or have the perfect timing. And I promise you that my imperfect action will outpace your perfect timing every day of the week because you're never going to get started. There's always going to be some other thing, some other nuance. It's like people that want to lose weight. It's like, well, I'm going to start after my birthday. I'm going to start after this wedding that I go to. I'm going to start after this holiday. Well, guess what? That holiday is going to come back around. There's going to be another event. There's going to be another wedding. There's always some arbitrary thing that's going to continue to pop up because it's the thing that you keep manifesting to prevent you from getting the thing that you want because you're not willing to just admit that you don't want to do the work.
No, absolutely. I like that. Yeah, something is always going to pop up. There's always going to be an excuse. It's like saying, I got to wait for the perfect time. Oh, I'm waiting for the kids to go to college. So when the kids go to college, oh, something else pops up. So, oh, when this happens, then I'll go. So yeah, if you're looking for excuses, you always find an excuse not to take action. But like you say, your imperfect action will always be perfect in action. Now, do you use social media at all for your building up your business? Is that a part of your business?
I literally wrote a book called Social Media Mastery because it is the majority of how we've built our brand and our business. Because social media is one of the greatest tools on the planet if you're using it with intention. The problem is, most people aren't using it with intention. They're just using it to kill time and waste time. And so that's why there's so many different back and forth ideas on it. But I look at it as an amazing tool to build relationships. And as a servant, as a sales professional, as someone whose job is to build relationships, why would I not want to leverage a tool that has billions of people on it, knowing that I just need like a very small fraction of those individuals to want to work with me to be massively successful and make a major impact on the world?
No, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, between all the different forms of social media, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Pinterest, all that stuff, you have billions of people, and if you're not utilizing it, you're missing out on a lot of potential business. But you said use it with intention because too many people use it to kill time. Yeah, I mean, it's so easy to be on Facebook for 5, 6, 7 hours and not really get anything done. So you got to use it with intention. You said you can build relationships with people all over the world. Now, One thing I think it's really helpful, which I think some people don't realize, so I'm sure you probably do this, is time blocks. So I'm going to spend an hour doing this or 90 minutes doing that, and then I'm going to move to the whatever I need to do next. I think too often people don't manage their time, so they spend 5 hours wasting their time on something they could have done in 1 hour and saved themselves 4 hours. So would you agree? Like, that's probably one of the reasons why you've had a lot. So you figure out a way how to do time block with everything, your business, your relations, and all these other things. Would you agree that that's true?
I don't know if you like teed me up for this or not, but I'm gonna take this lobby. Here's the thing. I call it the four sixes because at one point in my life, December 24th, 2019, Christmas Eve, my wife came to me and handed me her wedding ring back and said, "Hey, as much as I love you, I think you're married to your job and your career more than your family, and I'm gonna give you the option to make a choice. Either you can go and live the business life and be famous and cool and all that you want to be, or you can have your family and we can continue on in the promises that we made each other when we handed each other these rings. What do you want?" And I was like, "What the hell does that mean? Like, I'm making more money than I've ever made. You don't have to work anymore. We're living this amazing life. I'm building this amazing future. Like, what the hell do you even mean?" And it hit me is that if you are living in a future that you're building in your mind and this legacy and these things that we create as entrepreneurs, and we start this whole like fantasy of some world that we're creating and these lifestyle that we're going to live at some point. You know what happens to the people around you? They're still sitting here in the room looking at you while you're out in the middle of no world, wondering what the hell's going on. Your kids are wondering, why doesn't daddy want to play with me? Why won't he put his phone down and come build Legos? Your spouse is over there going, "I wonder who they're thinking about. Did they meet somebody on that business trip? What were they doing when they weren't answering their phone?" But in your mind, all you're thinking about is like, "Man, I went and I was grinding and I was on sales calls. And then as soon as I got out of that meeting, I went to the next meeting." And they don't know because there's no communication. And so what happens to me is when my wife handed me her wedding ring back, I had to make that realization that it doesn't matter how successful I become, if the whole point and driving factor is my family, if they're not there, how far can I really go? If they're my fuel to being successful and suddenly they're not there, how far am I going to be able to keep riding at this pace? Not very far. And so that's when I developed the four sixes strategy, because kind of going in line with what you're saying, making time and living time blocks. Well, when I was unhealthy, someone asked me, "Hey man, you're making a little bit of money, you're having some success, but how would it feel if boom, all of a sudden you're looking down from heaven and some other asshole's in bed with your wife raising your kid in your home because you had a heart attack and you didn't take the time to make like healthier decisions?" "Well, what does that mean?" So it's like, "Well, hey man, you get 24 hours in a day. Where are you taking an hour or two to take care of yourself?" So this is where my four sixes strategy came into play, because we can all agree there's 24 hours in a day. Yes. Yes.
Absolutely, yeah.
Awesome. So I look at it like this. There's four areas of life that are really important to me. Sleep is number one, because if you don't rest and you don't recharge, you don't have the energy to go and be the person that you need to be. And to be honest with you, if you've ever been on a bender for like 48 or 72 hours, at a certain point, it's not a good look. And you don't want to be that person. And we've all seen that person that you can see walking down the street in Vegas that's been up for like 4 days on whatever wild drugs they could do. And you're like, "I don't ever want to look like that." That's why sleep is so important, right? So we just put that at the top. Then we have our family, because again, all of us are doing it for our family, the legacy. That's the entrepreneurial way. We're trying to create this future. Then we have our business, because if you're here, you likely don't have FU money to where you can just wake up and do whatever you want whenever you want because you're so rich. Like, and I appreciate that because I'm not there yet. I'm working towards it, but that's a perspective of what that version will be for me. And then, funny enough, we put ourselves last. We're supposed to be like showing up as this best version of ourselves. We're always telling everyone how hard we're working to be this best version of ourselves, but we're putting ourselves last. Which is strange, because if you've ever been on an airplane, the first thing they tell you when you get on there during the safety briefing is if there's an emergency, you have to put your own oxygen mask on first, or else you become a burden to everyone around you. So my question, Victor, is why do people still run around and operate as if they have an unlimited amount of time And why did they continue to put themselves last?
That's a great question. Yeah, and we're taught to do that a lot. And like you said, the airplane example is such a good example because you need to put it on first because you cannot possibly help the people next to you if you're suffocating, you're dying. So they tell you to put on the mask first, and then maybe you can help the people next to you. So maybe we're told to be selfless and humble. That's fine, but if we take it to extreme, we don't take care of us, so we suffer. And you know what? The people around us suffer. So no, and I love you shared that story. With your family, how your wife just came to you one day. She handed you back your ring. She told you to make a choice to either that business that you love or your family. And you were doing this for your family. You didn't realize that, you were just so focused on it, but you weren't giving enough time to your wife and your kids. And then you had to change how you did everything. And, you realized communication was important. And you could say, people are, it's so easy for us to fall into that trap. We're thinking this future, this fantasy, we're doing this for our family. But you said, your kids, they're asking you for your time, but you're not giving it to them. And like you said, if you lose your family, but you're doing it for your family, how much longer are you going to keep doing it if the reason you're doing it is not there anymore? So then that's when you change doing everything. You change your time blocking. You gave more time to them. And, obviously it's been a lot better. And you mentioned the example of the when your health wasn't that good, and the person says, what happens if you die and you're looking for heaven, and someone else, your wife's married to someone else, and they're raising your kid, and all because you didn't take care of yourself. You could give that 1 or 2 hours to take care of your health, and you were able to do that because I think you were at 300 pounds, and now you're obviously a lot skinny. You've obviously lost life, so you're in a much better shape right now. So you can do it. And I love the 4 areas you said, sleep, family, business, and taking care of ourselves. And I agree, sleep is so important. I don't think people realize the importance of sleep. And it goes from when you're a little baby because it helps with your growth, it helps with your mental learning, all kinds of things. And kids that get more sleep tend to do better in school. And people who sleep more, guess what? They're more productive, get more done, they make fewer mistakes, and they're a lot more successful. People think those that sleep 5 or 6 hours do better. They actually do not concentrate as well. They don't focus as well, and they make a lot more mistakes, whether they're entrepreneurs or in the business world. But we always watch these movies. We see these guys getting 4 hours of sleep, making 2, 3 million a year. It doesn't work that way in the real world. In the real world, you really need to get that sleep. It's good for your health. It's good for your brain. It's good for so many things. So I'm glad you mentioned that as the first thing. And of course, family and then business and ourselves. So I think if you take care of those 4 areas, I think you're definitely going to have a really, really good and successful life. Now, as we're coming toward the end of our interview, are there any last minute pieces of advice you'd like to leave with our audience? You definitely shared a lot of great stuff today.
Yeah, no, thank you for the opportunity to be here. I hope the listener has really taken a moment to sit back and let some of these questions hit them deeply and really bring out a vulnerable answer because that's what's going to create change. And if I could give any one piece of advice, this is a phrase that I trademarked, crush the day before it crushes you. It's so easy to wake up, pull out your phone, turn on the news, see something political, see something, outside of the norm, somebody got killed, this, that, whatever. It's so easy to let those things crush you. And if you can just focus on, all right, I'm going to wake up, I'm going to have gratitude for the opportunity to go out and live my life the way that I want to live it. I'm going to embrace the opportunity to make decisions, and I'm going to accept the responsibility to make good decisions with this blessing. And if you can just do that and focus on going out there and crushing the day before it crushes you, when you go to bed, you're going to feel like a winner. You're going to feel good, and you're going to wake up and have the momentum to do it again the next day and the next day. And if you have a bad day, guess what? If you wake up the next day, you're blessed with an opportunity to learn and to keep going. So just get up and crush the day. That's the way.
I like that. Crush the day before it crushes you. You got to take care of things in the morning because, yeah, if you don't, the day is going to swallow you up. It reminds me of something one of my mentors told me. He says, "You win the morning, you win the day." So you definitely want to take care of the morning because if you don't, it's definitely going to crush you. So I like that. Crush the day before it crushes you. You take care of, like you say, you do the gratitude, all those important things, mindset, whether it was visualization, reading something powerful, prayer, any of those things, meditation, any of those things in the morning to really take and conquer the morning, crush the day, you take care of that, you're gonna have a much better day. I definitely agree with that. But listen, Drew, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. It's been a real pleasure having you. You showed a lot of great tips, a lot of great wisdom, and I know the people listening to this episode definitely learned a lot. And if people want to get in touch with you, what is the best way for them to contact you?
Yeah, thank you so much. I would love to hear from anyone that got value out of this that feels like they'd like to ask any additional questions or learn. You can find me online everywhere at Call the Damn Leads. Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, they're all there at Call the Damn Leads. Just come and seek me out and send me a message. As well, I released a book back in January, Call the Damn Leads is the title of the book. If you'd like to receive a free download, go to callthedamnleads.com/free book offer. You can download the PDF, read through it, get some strategies, get some ideas on how to go and be successful. Sales, business, entrepreneurship. What I love is the quote, methods are many, principles are few. Methods may vary, but principles never do. So I like to focus on the principles, the basics of how to be successful. In my opinion, what's worked for me. So if you can get some value out of today's call, more than anything, subscribe and share this one to everybody, because if you're listening to this show, Victor's made the effort to be here, put in the time and energy to share it. So do him the favor of reaching out and following him as well. But go grab a copy of the book. Let me know what you think, and I'll be excited to hear what kind of results you're getting.
Awesome. Thanks again, Drewby. Have yourself a great day.
You too, Victor. Take care.
Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you've enjoyed listening, please smash that subscribe button so you don't miss any of our amazing episodes. Please also leave a 5-star rating review and have an awesome day.